Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I was glad when they said, let us come to the house of the Lord. And I am so glad I'm back to be with you. It's great. Had a good vacation, but good to be home. Always good to be home. Except it didn't happen very quickly because we went to the airport yesterday about 11 o'clock in the morning. And we arrived about 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning because the flight had all kinds of problems. It was a direct flight, but they messed this up because they delayed, and then the flight crew didn't have, you know, they had their hours in, and mid-flight they landed, oh, we're time's up, we're going to land in Charlotte. So they landed in Charlotte, and then we had to get another new crew and all that, you know, to go on. They said it was all due to the weather, but I know that's not true. But if they say it's all due to the weather, then they can get off the hook, right? They have no problems, but there was poor planning. Anyway, we're back, we made it, and I have relaxed Sharon greatly now. But you wouldn't want to meet her last night. She was not a happy camper, that's for sure. What's with all this, you know? But anyway, even if things are difficult, we know we have a great God, and he loves us, and he brings us together, and he will eternally, as next Sunday is Easter, of course. Big celebration. Miles is here today. All right, we're glad to have you, and he'll be with us on Easter Sunday, too. So, and Pete and Kim, I think, are going to be joining. I don't know if Allie is. Is she going to be with us, maybe? You talk to her, okay. I know what that's all about. I've been dealing with that for a little while here. Yeah, but, oh, speaking of the devil, there she is. She made it in. You know. You missed all my comments, honey. I'm so glad. Anyway, let's start. Even if things are difficult sometimes, we have a great God. Let's rise, join, and sing, Even If.
Say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. Right now I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? Move my
Thank you, Miles. Well, how wonderful it is to be in your life able to look out and see God coming towards you. That's really what Palm Sunday was all about. It was the coming of God to us. And he came with all of the pageantry that any king would ever imagine. Of course, they didn't understand him totally or completely then. But as the time went on and the cross came upon us, and the resurrection of Christ showed through and broke through all of the clouds, we see today even God coming to us. And one of the great psalms that really brings this home to me is the 23rd Psalm, showing that God is so near. And I memorize it. Sometimes I forget it when I say it, but I love the psalm. You know it maybe too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of the Lord. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. God is always near. He's always with us. Sometimes it doesn't look like that, but he is. And today, by God's grace, his Spirit comes to lift you up in your life, to let him know that he is your shepherd, shepherding you and bringing you to the still waters and the joy of everlasting life that is yours. Well, let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We truly do, even if sometimes we don't feel like praising you, even if sometimes the doubts come to us about all that is happening in our world, and we look out and we see so many things that are so overwhelming to us, even if times are tough, we know that you are near and you are with us. And today, by your Spirit, let your word touch our hearts, lift our minds and our souls to praise you, because even if such things happen, we know you are our God. In Jesus we pray, amen. Well, we got another song, I think, right? This is a great one. Ever Be. Join and sing.
Your love is devoted, like a ring of solid gold. A vow that is tested, a covenant of old. Your love is enduring, through the wind and rain. Beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You led yourself to me, and it's why I sing your praise. Will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Father, the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. Shoulder our weakness, strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, holding me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. You will have your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And it's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips. Be on my sing your praise, oh Lord.
Good to have Miles with us, right? He brings those good tunes that touch our heart and get us going. You know, by the power of God's Spirit and His love, we can rise to put praise on our lips. Even if things are difficult, we always know God is near. And He uses us to help other people know that. Did you know that? And just like He uses Miles here this morning, He uses you too, because we all have a song to sing by the life that we have. We each do. And that brings me to this word from Paul, the apostle in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As I say always, many times anyway, at the end of my messages, that very thing. Many pastors say that very thing. You know that, probably. You've heard that. And they just say that to remind you, the Lord is near. God is near you. Next song, Miles has for us, By Your Side. And He is. This is a tough song, Miles, but it's a good one.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. If I'm not enough, so where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? So where will you run? 'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight. These hands that are holding you, my hands are holding you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we are so thankful to you that you are truly near us. And you have words for us today that we might grow in our faith and our love in you, love for you and our love for one another. Bless us in this endeavor, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, we all say together, amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Here's a thought for you for the day. I really don't want to be alone. Not in this world. Some of the longest and most beautiful songs that have ever been written have been from people who are lonely. Somehow alone in this world. And we don't want to be that way, because when God created us, we weren't created to be alone. In fact, in the beginning, there's some mention of that in Genesis, that all the creation is good. At the end of each day, God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, a new day. And yet, in the creation of man, there's one thing that God said wasn't good, and that's that he was alone. Somehow, being alone is not meant for us. And this sermon today that we're going to do is that God is near us. In other words, you're not alone. Well, that doesn't mean other people are around you, but at least you're alone. Think of Jesus. He would go off from his disciples by himself, and then he would talk with his Father. He wasn't alone while he was there. When he was on the cross, Jesus was alone. No, he wasn't alone. He was talking to his Father. There were some things he was saying there that are really interesting. But Jesus was never alone. We're never alone. That's what he's showing us. We're never alone in this life, because God is there in the most personal way. So this idea is, like, you know, really common, I guess, in Christian circles. Because I was looking up some graphics on it. I found this one. God is close. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that word close as we deal with the sermon on God is near. Here's another one. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You see? And then we all, oh, that's so good. Next. God came near. Right? So then you have a picture of Jesus sitting there talking with his disciples, something like that. So we have this image of God being among his people. All right? Here's another one. The closing one, God is good and God is near. That's kind of reminiscent, isn't it? The God is good theme. Two Sundays ago, we did a sermon on God is good, and now God is near, not a bad sermon title. So what I'd like to do is talk about the idea of God being near. And to do that, I'm going to be using this chair again. Last week, we used it as the chair of trust, right? So now it's the chair of God being near. Well, it's interesting. If you look back to the old traditions, when it comes to the celebration of this week, Palm Sunday is the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem, and all the people are waving branches, and the children are singing out, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? Hosanna to God in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. And then they are celebrating the fact that God has brought his deliverer into Jerusalem. And the ideas of that were different among people, but that is technically what was scheduled here. And then the deliverer goes ahead during the next week, and on Thursday night he meets with his disciples and he says, right, the things that he said on Maundy Thursday with the Lord's Supper. Right? This is my body, this is my blood. Then he goes to the garden, starts praying, and on Friday, he is on a cross, and that's where he died. And then Sunday, of course, we celebrate Easter, so as Al was saying. So it was interesting, on that, in the celebration of the Seder, which was the celebration of a major salvation of God to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt, they would leave a chair empty at their meal. So what was that empty chair all about for them? Well, it was a way to remember that God had promised that before the Messiah would come, Elijah would show up. So it was Elijah's chair. It was a way of remembering it. So every year they had an empty chair at their table, and it was for Elijah, and then they would tell the story. God has prophesied that he will send a deliverer to us, and Elijah will come first. That fulfillment comes in John the Baptist. There's some dialogues and things to look at on that. But I just, the empty chair is interesting. In homes that I go to where people have recently lost loved ones, there are sometimes empty chairs still sitting there. Or you can even do that at the table. People have done this too traditionally, I've heard of it, where during the meal there's always an empty chair, either for a guest to come in that you're anticipating, or come Lord Jesus be our guest. You've heard that prayer before. So the idea is somehow the chair symbolizing someone we're remembering, someone who is not with us at the moment, not with us at the moment, or but yet he is. So that's for today. That's just an image I want for you, because this idea of God was worked through with the children of Israel, with the disciples at the time of Jesus, later on with Christians that they went along. Where's God? Where is he? Can you see him? I don't know. Did you wave to him yesterday? Well, is God around? Isn't he? What is going on with God? So, as I have done in the last four messages, I have a little favorite psalm that I'd like to share some words. And all of the sermons in this series actually had verses in this psalm that talked specifically about these things. So, let's go. So this is Psalm 145, and in verse 47 it says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, faithful in all he does," and then this verse. "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." So this near concept, like with us, you know, there are those who have passed and yet they're near. We want to keep them near and dear to our heart, that kind of idea. A lot of times when we're thinking about near, we think about proximity, distance, right? So there is the distance that is far, and then there is the distance that is near. But there's more to this than that. And this is where I want to talk about that just for a second. It's the word close. Close can do the same thing. Near has a harder time with it. But close can mean proximity. But it also can identify type of relationship. You know those two people over there? Are they close? What do we mean by that? Are they close? You know that friend that you had in high school, the one that is your neighbor down the block, are you guys close? Is a term that we use. And in senses of that, this word near also has those connotations of being close. And what does that mean when we talk about a relationship with God, and specifically that he is near? He is close to you and me. There's this one song that came out a while ago, years ago. "God is watching us from a distance." It's the line that's in there. And I keep going, what are you talking about? Where is God? Where is he? Go ahead, everybody point to God. Ready? Where, what? Well, is he like not here? Or is he here? And if he's here, is he near? Is he close? Well, yeah, that's because of God's nature. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. And it's really important to say that our God is everywhere because he's near us. He's close in his relationship with us. That's where all this goes. So the psalm goes on with some interesting verses here. God fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry. He saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. He fulfills the desires. That is incredibly close. I would say God's kind of close with his people if he's fulfilling their desires. And if he's hearing their cry, you know one of the cries of the people of God that's recorded in Scripture? Hosanna. That's a Palm Sunday word. Have you ever been through it, right? Because the children were running around saying, Hosanna. The word means, save us. That's what Hosanna means. So when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, the people are crying out, save us, save us. Why would anybody need to be saved? They're like, what are you kidding? Look around you. Look at the oppression. Look at the difficulty. Look at the trials. Look at the people. We would like to get back on top of things. God, come and save us. Send a delivery, especially a Messiah who would come and be a king on this earth. Like, this is going to totally rock. And we are going to be saved finally from the politics and government that are sitting around us, from those who would oppress us, those who would try to own us, those who'd probably tell us who we are and not let us have any say at all. And we cry out to God, and he is near. This phrase came right after, the Lord is near, he fulfills our desires, and he hears our cries, and he saves us. His relationship with us is evident in the way he acts. He loves and he saves us. The Lord watches all over us as well. Beautiful concepts of being near. There's another old way of talking about this nearness, and it's in Psalm 75. We praise you, God, we praise you, for your name is near. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we praise you because your name is near us. The name, in this old way of talking, spoke of, the name encompasses every single thing about who it's naming. So all the things that have been done, all the things that are being done, all the things that will be done are in that name. So a name takes on meaning because of all the things that have been done, will be done, are being done. And that's actually the case with all of our names, too. So you say, well, I know this guy named Al. Okay. Tell me about him. So then you go, well, he's like this, he does that, he's done this, he's doing this, and down the road probably will do that as well. Oh, okay, now I know him better. So if the name is with you, then you got a package along with it. And that's always the way what it was with God and Jesus, right? His Father and Son, right? You know his name. His name is near us. His name is close in relationship to us. You are not alone because his name is with you. Kind of an interesting thought. All right, let's keep going on. So the mark of the holy nation, one other nation, Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 4. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? Near. It's close. It's that question, does God listen to me anyway? I mean, does he actually care about the things that happened in my life? I mean, are we close? You talk about the people that you're close to. Are the two of you close? Are you and God close? Like, he actually cares about you. He actually applies his greatness and power in your life for your benefit, to affect your past, your present, and your future. Is that the way it is with God, with you? This is a really, really good question. I don't mind it at all. God is good, God's trustworthy, but he's also near us. He is in relation, he is close to us in the way that he acts. This is also shown in a term that was used for God's actions in Jesus. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is really unique. It's not God is watching us from a distance. He is with us, with us. We use this language too. So are the two of you together? Right? So in high school, hey, are they together? Like, are they close in that sense? You have kids talking about their parents. Are you close with your parents, though? These are relational words. Are you close with God? Are you close with your parents? Are your parents close to you? Some relationships are not that way, and some relationships are. But one thing you can be sure of is that God is close to you. The Lord is near you. Before we talk about the other end of the relationship, we're just talking about God. God is consistent. How do we know that? Because God so loved you that he sent his son, gave his son, his only begotten son, right? So that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He's got plans for you. And God did not send his son into the world, which he could have, to condemn the world through his son, but he sent his son into the world to save the world through him. That was the objective of God. Why? Because he loves the world. God so loves the world. Well, how many people are included in the world? All. God is not sitting off somewhere, kind of like bored, or getting overly excited about how difficult our lives can be or the troubles that might come. He's not that way either. He is close. The Lord is near. God is near us. He is close to us. It's just very, very powerful. So how do we know that that's the case? Well, God sent his son. And this week we're going to talk about how his son rode into Jerusalem. And then on Monday, Thursday, he gathered his disciples together and said, this is going to be my body and blood, a given and shed for you. The next day he's on the cross shedding his blood and giving up his body for us. And then God comes in, raises him from the dead. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him, right? Raises him from the dead and exalts him to his right hand in heaven. And the future is God will send him to come and take us to be with him so that we may be where he is at the right hand of the Father for all of eternity. It's an incredible message of God for you. I would say God is not uninvolved, unattached, uninterested. He is highly involved in your life. He knows you by name. Specifically, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for you. Oh, well, you'll see that when we distribute today, right? This is my body. Here, take and eat the body of Christ, given for you. And then given for you. And then you take it. And then you drink it. See? That. It's contemporary. It's not just a thing with God. So we are looking forward to what God is going to deliver because he's near us. Now, there's this other side to it that's found in this verse from James. This is James 4. Come near to God and he will come near to you. This can also be said, God comes near to you, you come near to him. It's POV. Do you know what POV is? Point of view. So from God's perspective, which is part of the proclamation of Scripture, from God's perspective, he is close to you. He is your God, whether you acknowledge it or not. Your end of it, your POV, is not his. He has his own POV of you. You are loved, and you are deliverable, and you are savable. That's God's view of you. In order to accomplish that whole thing, he sent his son to make it happen. Now the POV flips. As we come near to God, that's our perspective. Well, like, we're going to get God close to us? No. That's it's not that kind of thinking. It's, I identify myself as being with the God who loves me, who gave his son for me, who gives me hope in this time and in the future that goes beyond now and into death. That is the whole Easter season, the Holy Week, everything is about this, that God has already done all of this, and he's doing it now for you, and he's going to bring all those promises when he comes back, because he's going to bring all those promises to you. It'll all be fulfilled when we end up in the kingdom of God in heaven. I get really excited about it. Now, there is an effect. An effect that comes to human beings who are close to God. God is close to, and they are close to God. And I love it. It is a very special word. It's the word peace. I'm always fascinated by the Miss America contest, right? And I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to do it again. They'll say, what do you think we really need in the world today? And they'll answer, world peace. Right? Okay. Yep, there it is. But we laugh, but not. Because it, at the heart, it is capsulizing what we want and need now. Comfort and peace. That would be really great to have in this world, or don't you really live in reality? I don't know that the world is delivering much peace at all. The peace that we have is in the one who is close to us. We are close to God. Therefore, we have peace. Let me show you how it all pans out in words. So Paul's going along. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And then he says this phrase, the Lord is near. Right? Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Oh, so it's not all going to go well? No, but you're not supposed to worry about those things. Now, the next verse is the one that we hear probably much more often than this one before it. The next verse is this one. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. I say keep. Will keep your hearts, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is amazing peace. We're close to God. Are you close to God? Yeah. Is he close to you? Of course. That's the only way we can have a close relationship. Right? Well, how close are you guys? I don't know. He had his son die for me. He secured for my soul an eternity in heaven. You know, something on that scale. Scale of relationship. Really? That's amazing. Well, what kinds of things do you sing about when the guitar is playing and the voice is going? Oh, about that stuff. How God is with us by our side. How great it is to have a God like we've got, who's near us. And he's going to send his son. Is that his right hand? He's going to send his son to bring us home. We're all going to go home. We can look forward to this promise of God to bring this to all of us. That is why I really do, like Al does, love Psalm 23. Because David was capturing these kinds of concepts in those words. So just a little quick review in here. David is setting up this picture of God as a shepherd. And his first statement is, then I don't need anything. See, God is near me. God is around me. God is doing his thing. I don't have any needs. I'm not alone. I'm not without things. I have what I need because God is my shepherd. And look at this. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths. See how he states all those things? That's how close I am to God. Well, what does that look like today? To have someone who's made to lie down in green pastures and led by God and refreshed by him and guided by him. That's us, man. God's building us into those people. He's always training us for that, of what it looks like. And David's going at it. He's saying this is what God does. Then Then when the trouble comes, this is the same thing from Philippians. You know, when you have a difficult circumstance, you'll have that wording, right? Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. David does the same thing. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, God? Because you are with me. I have it made. I'm close to God. And he's close to me. He knows my name. He's paid the ultimate price for me. So we just go into Easter barreling into it. Tell me again this incredible news that God died for me. Rose his son from the dead, right? Right hand of the Father, heaven down the road. All this is coming our way. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh, I can have peace with the nearness of God. And then David just ends it so softly at the end. Surely your goodness and love will follow me. You ever have anybody follow you? Yeah. What do you say? You look over your shoulder and you say, not so close. Right? Give me some distance. Not God. God is right there. And he brings goodness and love following you all the days of your life. Where is this message in our culture? Other than here. Other than in the Bible. Where is it? That God's that close to his people? His children, he calls them? His sons and his daughters? Huh? Wow. All the days of your life? And I'm going to get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is one major hope to cling to in our lives, to be able to live with God. So here's my closing. This is a very interesting verse. It's really personal. As for me, it's good to be near God. Could you comment on your life? Sure. As for me, it's good to be near God. Not bad. What about you? What does that mean? I mean, would you ever say that? It's good to be near God? To be in a close relationship with him? How do we do that? Draw near to him. You know, when you sit in the pew and you're singing a hymn, sing it! The words are great. The songs that we're doing, I mean, it's phenomenal. You know, when you hear, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, well, take it and eat it. How much closer and intimate is your relationship with God than that, right? Of what he's done through his son, Jesus, for you. To guarantee all of this, the forgiveness of your sins, the hope of eternal life, all the things that go along with it. So then in the process, we listen to God, we pray like children, and we care like Jesus in all of the things that we do in this life. God bless us, right? In his love. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful to you for your word. Grant to us a continued sigh of peace and comfort that this world cannot deliver, but you do. You are with us. You love us. You care about us. You are close to us. Help us to continue to be close to you as well. This we pray in Jesus' name. We all say together, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glad. We continue with our offering right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I brought the wrong offering plates, didn't I? Oh, this is what God offers, not what we offer. Did you notice that? It's on the other side are the offering plates, what God offers. This day, Palm Sunday, is a day where we see how God comes to us, right? To proclaim his victory. They wanted him to be king, right? He comes in as king, but during this week, he shows how his victory, his kingship, really is to be delivered by his own death, by his suffering. And so Yeah, he offers his own son. He offers his body and his blood so that we might discover his rule, his kingship, to be real in our lives. So our lives have everything to do, whether we give an offering today or not, with what God offers. That's where we begin, with what God offers. Otherwise, our offerings are for what? So it's our relationship that he is near to us that brings us here today. I noticed we forgot to get out the bowls, right? To collect the remains of, well, there stands over there. Yeah, right. You know, I forget that every week too. Yeah. I mean, every time we have communion, I forget to bring that out. But that's not something we should forget. We should remember what our lives bring to the world. It may not seem like much, but it's so important that it is collected. And we as the church come together to bring forth to the world that his rule is real in our lives. And that's our relationship with him. I had a great vacation, you know, and I was standing in line in front of a truck that was converted into a barbecue pit. And they made chicken and ribs. And this guy, a one-man show, and he would work and make these chickens, and he had the grills there, he's turning them. He would hack them with his hatchet like this, you know, break them all up, and he had some sides you could get and all of that. And he would put in these plastic containers, he'd put the dinner there, and then he would collect the money, and then he would go out and turn the chicken, then he'd come back to you. And it just took a long time because he did everything himself. It took a long time for us to get our meal. And with that smoke going, you know, you could really smell the flavor in the air, and you just wanted to grab a hold of those things. But there was a billboard, and it gave me an idea on his truck. And he had the words of a famous singer. You ever heard of Tina Turner? What's love got to do with it? And I said, that's a good sermon series on relationships. What's love got to do with it? And so I can't wait for Easter Sunday, but I also can't wait for the new sermon series I'm going to move you to. It's called A Good Question About Relationships. What's love got to do with it? Today, Al talked about what love has got to do with our relationships, and we're going to get there. But this Sunday, don't miss it. Easter Sunday, bring someone, please. Great message. Great music, and the greatest message you've ever heard. I Can Only Imagine, that's the title. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Do this as oft as you drink it. The peace of the Lord and the understanding of God fill your hearts and your minds with his peace that he brings to show that his rule can be real in your life. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Amen. Come to the altar, Father.
and mistakes. Come a day, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and dream them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is pouring. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is pouring. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
May this, the true body and blood of Christ, strengthen you and keep you in true faith to life everlasting. Depart now in peace and gladness. Serve the Lord always. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Lord God, on this day we have many prayers, many concerns for the relationships that we have with people. And certainly we have given some thought today to where we are with you. We know you are near. Let us be near to you. In our prayers today, we remember Dr. Dick Niles. He has gone through a lot of difficulty these past weeks, and now he looks to a surgery on his valves and his heart. And we pray, Heavenly Father, be with him and guide the doctors. Let the surgery be successful to your glory and praise. Your will be done. Bring strength to his family in their time of waiting for his healing, and with all who love him, who eagerly wish for him to be better soon. We pray also for those that we know that are suffering with other difficulties and struggles. We continue to pray for Lisa. We remember those who are at home, for Evelyn Adams, at home with family in hospice, with Jackie Picard, alone at hospice. They are never alone, Heavenly Father. And we wish by our prayers today that they would know your presence, and they would know the comfort that you bring, that he would be, that you would be his, you would be their shepherd in their life, in their time of difficulty. For those that we know that are struggling in the problems that we have ourselves, we turn knowing and counting on you because we believe you are near, and pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.